كده والسمع ان اكيوز بيكوز اول ذا واي فروم هير كونتري تو ليسن تو كينج سونز وايل تيتشينج اند اي اشور يو ذات ذير از سمثينج هير جريتر ذان سولومون Glory be to God forever and ever. People came to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking for a miracle. Why they were asking for a miracle? They said to him, if you are Christ, the Son of the living God, and if you did a miracle, we'll believe you. We'll believe you. So show us a miracle so that we believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, and we will follow you. But if you didn't do a miracle, how can we believe you? And it's a very good question, actually. But the Lord Jesus Christ responded and said, no. I will not make a miracle. And this answer actually is surprising. Why the Lord Jesus Christ said no? It makes a lot of sense if he performed a miracle and people believed in him. And actually this was the same temptation. The last Sunday was the Sunday of temptation. When Satan took the Lord Jesus Christ on the pinnacle of the temple and asked him to throw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. And he told him, the angels will carry you, and then the people will saw how, will see how you threw yourself from the pinnacle of the temple and the angels carried you, and they will believe in you. Without preaching, without going here and there, it's easy way to spread you're preaching and everybody believes in him. But the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, didn't listen to Satan. But why the Lord refused to perform miracles? Why? Number one, because miracles cannot be foundation of faith. يعني المعجزات مش مفروض تبقى هي أساس للإيمان. Miracle cannot be foundation of faith. Why miracles cannot be foundation of faith? Can you tell me why miracles cannot be foundation of faith? ليه المعجزات مش مفروض تبقى أساس للإيمان؟
طوبى لمن أمانة
ورميانة. لكن إيه المانع أن تبقى المعجزة أساس الإيمان؟ إيه المانع؟ هل في خطورة؟ Is there any danger if miracles become foundation to faith?
You're always looking for
just, if you base your faith on miracles,
you're continuously looking for some kind of something feasible, something you can see or touch. But there is danger in making the foundation of our faith based on miracles. And I want you to know this danger. And many people right now follow miracles just blindly. And that's why I want to warn you. Why it's dangerous to base your faith on miracles? Exactly. When the Antichrist will come, the Antichrist will perform miracles or not perform miracles? He will perform miracles. So if you just believe because you see a miracle, this means we will believe in the Antichrist. Miracles is exception to the rule. This miracle. And Satan
can make exception to the rule. And I'll give you an example. Do you know in the Old Testament, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, what did he do? He took his stick and threw it on the earth, on the floor of the camp, and this stick changed into
snake.
And what? So Pharaoh called the magician. Magicians were able to do the same thing. So what's the difference? Pharaoh did this miracle through the power of God. And the magician did this miracle through the power of through the devil. So there's a big danger if just we follow the miracle blindly. Because when Antichrist comes, he will perform many miracles. So just we believe because there is a miracle, this means we'll believe Antichrist. And here just I want the Ma'at Nasira these days, yani, once there's a miracle, they believe it blindly. Without searching, without seeing it's from God or it's not from God. You know? The Bible says even Satan can change himself into angel of light. Shaitan ممكن يغير شكله لشبه ملاك النور. You know? So you need to be careful. You need to be careful in belief. And that's why when the lawyer and the Pharisees asked the Lord to perform miracles, he said no. Why? Because he wants them to believe in him and believe in his teaching, not to believe in his miracles. مش معناه his miracles are from there. No, no, no. What do I mean not to believe in it? They don't believe in Christianity because they saw just miracles. No, they believe in Christianity because of his teaching, not because it's a miracle. That's number one. And number two, miracles cannot change the spirituality of the person. Like, and what can change the spirituality of the person? The teaching. It's the word of the Holy Spirit. You are pure because of the words that I've spoken to you. Not because of the miracles that I did to you. So, miracles, ما بتغيرش حياة الإنسان. إيه اللي بيغير حياة الإنسان؟ كلمة ربنا. لكن المعجزات ما بتغيرش حياة الإنسان. How many people saw St. Mary in Zaytun? How many? ناس كتير. Many Muslims. How many people converted to Christianity or repented or lived strong life of repentance? Very few. So it is the word of God that changes. It is not the miracle. عشان كده ربنا قال ايه؟ قال and even an adulterous generation asking for a miracle. But no miracle will be given to it except the miracle of Jonah the prophet. يعني الكلام ده لما يجي الفصح والشرير يطلب آية ولا تعطى له آية إلا آية حق. He means the miracle cannot help this generation. Because this generation is an evil generation, an adulterous generation. The miracle or the sign cannot help this generation. This generation doesn't need a miracle, but this generation needs what? Needs a savior. This generation doesn't need miracles, but this generation needs a savior. Because savior will save them from their wickedness. But miracles cannot save them from their wickedness. عشان كده قال the only miracle, the only sign that will be given to them is the sign of Jonah. Why the sign of Jonah? Because Jonah was a symbol for Christ in his salvation. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will be in the depth of earth for 3 days and 3 nights. Why? For our salvation. So فلما ربنا قال جيل بس بشرير يطلب آية ولا تعطى له آية لا آية حتى ينام النبي. لأنه عايز يقول إن زي ما ينام كان رمز للسيد المسيح في خلاصه أو في العمل الخلاصي لتمام السيد المسيح، هكذا الجيل ده محتاج لمخلص مش محتاج لمعجزة. نينوى إيه اللي خلصها؟ مخلص اللي هو يوناني النبي لما راح وبشره مش معجزة. فنفس الكلام اللي خلص خلصنا أو يخلص الجيل الفاسد والشرير هو المسيح المخلص مش المعجزة. And then the Lord starts to compare between Jonah as a savior to Nineveh and Christ as a savior to the whole world. Because Jonah saved Nineveh from the eternal condemnation. So what did he say? Let's compare between Jonah's ministry and Christ's ministry. Jonah, what did he do? He gave one sermon, and this sermon was composed of 5 words. After 5 days, or after 40 days, God will destroy the church. That's all his ministry. Did Jonah do anything else? No. All what he did, he just gave one sermon, and this sermon was 5 words. يعني تخيلوا مثلا انا قلت لكم كده وقلت لكم after 40 days God will destroy it. That's what he said. Compare this with the ministry of Christ. Christ performed many miracles. He was teaching the multitude all the time. He sent the disciples and sent 12 disciples and 70 apostles. He was praying. So there is no comparison actually between the ministry of Christ and the ministry of the Ninevites, of Jonah to Ninevites. عشكرا قال لهم, and here is greater than Jonah. It's not only because Jesus is the creator of Jonah, but because of the ministry of Jesus Christ was much greater than the ministry of Jonah the prophet. Because Jonah, what he did, he gave only one sermon. But Christ, what did he do? He was preaching all his life. You know? But what was the reaction? Jonah, who gave only one sermon composed of 5 words, the whole city repented. But Christ wasn't preaching, and at the end they crucified him. عشكرا قال لهم, the people of Nineveh will stand in the day of judgment and condemn this generation. Although they didn't have a great preacher like Jesus Christ, they had a preacher who is Jonah, who gives them sermon composed of 5 words, but they repented, a very strong repentance. But here you have a greater preacher and you didn't have the same repentance. So what's the difference? It's the quality of the land. You know, in the parable of the sower, what's the difference? The difference was in the land. Land was stony, one was like the road, another land was like the road, another land was like full of thorn, and good land. So the difference is not in the preacher, in the minister, but the difference was in the land. Nineveh, because they were good land, they repented. But the people during the time of Christ, they were full of thorns and were like the road or like the stony land. That's why this is it. So tonight, I want to follow the example of the repentance of the Ninevites. Let us see what they did and try to follow their example. God was very angry at them and he wanted to destroy them. But because of their repentance, they were able to change God's decision. See how strong the repentance was? They were able to change the decision of God. And instead of this decision destroying them, God relented. And he didn't destroy them. So, if we follow the example, and if God is so angry with me, and he wants to destroy me because of my sin, but if I follow the example of the Ninevite, I can change God's decision towards me. And instead of, if he wants to destroy me, he will want to, you know, it. So, what did they do? There are 7 points in the repentance of the Ninevites. We'll speak about them.
Miracles can't save people from sin, so what's the
problem?
Cannot save people
from sin.
So what's the point of the miracle?
Well,
why does God allow miracles to happen?
God allows miracles to happen for many reasons. For our needs, for sometimes, you know, this person was paralytic, you know, so God healed him, so that, you know, he can, you know, for his needs. For the widow of the city of Nain, you know, because she was with and she lost her son, so God rested her son for her. Or to demonstrate his glory. You know? Like in the American title, man was born blind. You know? To show he is the creator. Or the miracle in here, 5 loaves of 2 fish. You know? To show his compassion on us. But we have to understand about the theology of miracles. Miracles are the exception and not the rule. And there has to be a spiritual reason behind the miracle. If there is no spiritual reason behind the miracle, God will not perform them. So, what the people of Nineveh did? We read the repentance, about the repentance in Jonah, Chapter 3. خلي بالكم معايا لأن at the end أنا هسألكم في 7 points. You need to memorize the 7 points. In Jonah chapter 3, when Jonah started through the city and after walking a whole day, he proclaimed, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. This was his sermon. He didn't tell them you need to repent. He didn't tell them you need to pray. He didn't tell them you need to change your way. He didn't say anything. He just told them God will destroy the city after 40 days. But listen to their repentance. Number one, what they did. The people of Nineveh believed in God. This is number one in their repentance. They believe in God. Maybe you will tell me, we believe in God too. Well, demons believe in God also. But what kind of faith they have? Belief in God means they took the warning of God, of Jonah, seriously. يعني قالوا ايه؟ يعني if they didn't believe this message that after 40 days God will destroy the city كان اللي يقول ليه دي؟ ويقولوا يا عم ما تسيبك من الكلام ده تفتكر ربنا هيحرق المدينة دي don't believe John if they didn't take the warning seriously كان اللي يحصل لهم والضعف عارفين مين can you give me example of people who didn't take the word of God seriously؟ ها؟ لاس؟ لوط وعز وكل الست وصدم عن جمهورة they didn't take the warning seriously ومين تاني؟ مين؟ of Noah was building the ark and people were laughing at him. Do you think there was a flood and you are building an ark? What you are doing? You know? And they didn't take the warning of God seriously. And that's why all of them
were drowned in the flood. So the question here for us tonight, if we want to know, if we want to follow the example of the Nenuphah, number one, do we take God seriously? Do we believe in His message seriously? You tell me, of course we take God seriously. But let me tell you, no, not everybody takes that seriously. I've seen it there. Look at it. How many times did you read in the Bible, no liar will enter the kingdom of God? Did you take this seriously? We're still lying until today. If we take this warning seriously, we shouldn't lie. How can we justify our lie? This is a warning from God. No liar will enter the kingdom of God. How many times we read in the Bible that if we love our brethren, we will move from death to life. Which means, if we don't love our brethren, we will be dead. And until now, we don't love our brethren, we don't love one another. There is hatred, there is strife, there is contention between us. So do we take that seriously? How many times we read that it's important to confess our sins to be forgiven? And many people, maybe they don't go to confession for months or years. Do we take God seriously? Do we take the word of God seriously in our life? How many times we read in the Bible that we need to pray without ceasing? And without prayer, we cannot achieve anything in our life. Then my Rabbi said, without me, you cannot do anything. And until now, we don't pray. So the point here about believing in God, it's not just to believe in God, I believe there is God, and God will, you know, send His Son in the fullness of time, born of Virgin Mary, and was crucified, and died on the cross, and rose from the dead. No, this is not the thing. To believe in God means to believe in His Word, to take this warning and these promises in this book here. So take these promises and warnings in this book here. This was the turning point in the life of the Ninevites. They took God seriously. They believed in the message of God. If they don't repent, God will destroy the city. Otherwise, they will be. This is the first point. Believe in God. They believe in God. About it. So the people of Nineveh believed God's message and proclaimed a faith. Proclaimed a faith. They decided to fast. Why? Actually, Jonah didn't tell them you need to fast. Did he? No, he didn't. Why did he decide to fast? Because they knew there are spiritual benefits from the fast. What are the spiritual benefits? As you know, we are made of two components, spirit and flesh. And the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh wars against the spirit. Right? If we have fight between two persons, who's going to win the fight?
The stronger one
will win the fight. So now there's a fight between the spirit and the flesh. Who's going to win the fight? The stronger. So, if your spirit is stronger than your body, your spirit will win the war. If your flesh is stronger than your spirit,
your flesh will win the war. And that's why in the letter to St. Paul, he differentiated between men of flesh and spiritual men. Men of flesh means they are controlled by their flesh. And spiritual men, they are controlled by their spirit. So why we fast? Because in fasting, we are making our flesh weaker than our spirit. By disciplining the body and bringing in subjection, as St. Paul said, we are weakening our flesh. So if we weaken our flesh, at the same time strengthening our spirit, then our spirit will win the war and will become a spiritual being. The Ninevites understood this, and that's why they proclaimed the fast, although nobody asked them to fast. And we, when God asked us to fast, or the church asked us to fast, say, no, no, we cannot fast. Or let us fast just for 2 weeks, or fast 3 weeks. And actually, we need to fast. If we need to repent, if we need to be spiritual, we need to fast. Because fasting is a spiritual tool that helps us to strengthen our spirit and weaken our flesh. Without it, we cannot weaken our flesh. And I wonder, many people ask, why do we have this strong fast in the church? Why do we fast 2/3 of the year? Why? Simply because we need it. We need it. And if we need it, we should be happy because we are fast. Because during fasting, it's a good opportunity to become spiritual. The people of Nineveh fasted without anybody asking them to fast. But we are blessed because we have the church teaching us to fast. But we don't take the secret. We don't take the teaching of the church seriously enough that we need to fast in order to strengthen our
faith. All this workout ethic and things like that. If you have a strong body, you have a strong mind. And
what I'm saying when I said weaken your body, I'm not saying make your body sick. There is a difference between weakening your body to become sick and unable to think and unable to walk and unable, because if you are unable to walk, even you cannot worship God. But weakening your body means disciplining your body. Don't give the body its desire or its need. Let me tell you what I mean by this. And if you eat food instead of meat, right, this will not make you, you know, not able to think. Or make your body weaker. But this is some sort of discipline. You discipline your body and you don't give your body its desire. As St. Paul said in Galatians, those who are for Christ crucify the body or the flesh with its desire and passion. So fasting is some sort of crucifying the body with its passions and desires. So we are not weakening the body, meaning we become sick and not able to think, no. But we are crucifying the passion and the desires of the body. Clear? Ashakira, when somebody is sick, the church gives him a solution to not to fast. Why? Because the body is already weak. It doesn't to, well, because this osmosis arrow, if the body is weak because of disease, then the benefit of fasting doesn't exist. And in fasting, the benefit of fasting is to weaken or to control my body. But if the body is already weak, you know, because of any diseases, then it's already, the passions and desires are crucified. And that's why the church gives a solution to the sick, not to sick.
I recently heard something that there's like this asset law or something that was just wait until 3 o'clock to
what?
Was just to wait until 3 o'clock, but there's a time set
I'll speak about this next point. This way. So number one, what did they do? Believed God. Number two, proclaimed sin. Number three. You're like me. So they decided that everyone should fast. And all the people, from the greatest to the least. That's number three. They fast together. Everyone fast. From the king to the children. Even the beast in the fight. They made the beast to fast. So everybody fast. The Bible says two are better than one. When we pray together, our prayer will be stronger than if you pray by yourself. And the same is true, in fact, when all of us fast together, our fasting will be more effective and more powerful than if you fast by yourself. And that's why we have all our fasting, we fast together. Because in fasting, we strengthen each other. The Lord said about the devil, this kind cannot come out by anything but by prayer and fasting. So in fasting, we are fighting the devil. And I, by myself, I cannot fight the devil. But if all of us together, through the grace of God, fast together, then we can fight the devil. One of the monks wanted to live in a cave away from the monastery. And he was praying about it to see if this thought from God or not from God. So while he was praying, he saw in a vision just a flame of fire by itself and a pillar of fire going from the earth to heaven. So he's wondering, what's this flame of light of fire and this pillar of fire? So the angel told him, you know, this flame of fire is your prayer by yourself. And each monk, his prayer is like this flame. But when you put all these flames together, that is the pillar of fire. That's the prayer of all the monks in the monastery. So if you go and yourself and live by yourself in the cave, you will lose the support of the group, the support of the other monks, the fellowship. And that's why the church teaches us to pray together, to fast together. And let me tell you something here. When I am not fasting, I am not only losing the benefit of fasting in my own personal life, but you know what else? I am weakening my brother's faith. Because if I'm fasting with my brother, I'm strengthening his fasting and he's strengthening mine. But if I'm not fasting, I will lose the benefit of fasting in my life, and also I'm contributing to the weakening of fasting of others. Imagine if all the Christians in the whole world are fasting and praying together. We will be able to move mountains. And this was true. When the Copts in Egypt fasted and prayed together for 3 days, they were able to move mountains through the power of fasting and prayer. And that's why the people of Nineveh, they fasted together. Fasted together. عشان كده وين وفاس all of us should fast the other, the children, everybody should fast without exception. And keep in mind, if I decide not to fast, I am weakening my brothers. So they believed in God. They number one Number one, we believe the God. Number two, proclaim the faith. Number three, message the same. Today, believe in God, proclaim the faith. Number three. You like him. And put on sackcloth to show that they had repented. When the king of Nineveh heard about it, he got up from his throne, took off his robe, put on sackcloth, and sat down in ashes, and sent out a proclamation to the people of Nineveh. This is an order from the king and his officials. No one is to eat anything. All persons, without exception, cattle and sheep are forbidden to eat and drink. All persons and animals must wear sackcloth. What is the point behind putting on sackcloth and sitting on ashes? Why? What's the point behind? يعني putting on sackcloth and يلبس المسلوح ويجلسوا على الرماح. Why? They are doing what? They are They humble themselves before God. That's what I'm talking about. By practicing what we call asceticism, no one knows. Putting on sackcloth and sitting on the ash, this is ascetic life. I am a thing. Ashkira, even the king, he left his throne. It's not time for pleasure. It's not time to glorify myself and sit on my throne. No, it's time for repentance. It's time to humble myself before God, because God is angry at me. So let me humble myself. May He have mercy upon me. And they sit on ashes. What's the point behind ashes? They know that God turned it into ashes, Sodom and Gomorrah. And they knew and the wicked will go into the fire. So the fire turns people into ash. So sitting on ashes reminding themselves that if they don't repent, they will be turned into ash. And this is the idea behind Ash Wednesday in the Catholic Church. In the Catholic Church, the first day of the Lent, of the Great Fast, they go to the church, and Abuna, the priest, anoints their forehead with ashes. Why? To remind the sinners that if we don't repent, will be punished and will be turned into ash. But if we repent, God will change our sins into ash. And it will be God. علشان كده, in the Old Testament, in the burnt offering, after the fire, the holy fire sent from heaven and burn the burnt offering and turn the burnt offering into ashes. The priest took these ashes, which means the anger of God is satisfied, is pacified. So took these ashes and turned it in a holy place. And there's another custom for the ashes. But it's not our the topic tonight. But just I'm trying to explain you the idea behind the ashes and the concept of ash when they're in Catholic Church. So, they humbled themselves. That's why in fasting, we need to humble ourselves. Sometimes we spoil ourselves during fast. And this is right. Fasting is time of asceticism, not time to spoil ourselves. Ashakida, there are three dimensions in fasting. Three aesthetic dimensions. The first dimension in the canon we بيتكلموا عليه من شوية اللي هو we need to abstain from eating and drinking for some time for start eating or drinking. And as we said, the church regulates that during all the fast we should abstain from drinking and eating until 3 p.m. Except is the Holy Great Fast, the 3 days of Nineveh, and the Paramount. We should abstain from eating and drinking until 6 p.m. That's why when you go to church, we pray the Akbiyah until the 12th hour. And when you go to church, there is no vespers. Like tonight, we didn't do vespers. Why? Because if we abstain until 6 p.m., and the liturgy will end, it's a later liturgy, ends by 6 p.m., so there is no time for vespers. We do vespers only on Saturday and Sunday. But of course, يعني, we leave this to your father's confession. But everybody should abstain for some time. The first meal called what? What's the first meal? You call it what? Huh? Breakfast. You know what breakfast means? Breaking. So Pope Shenouda said, if you are eating in the morning, you are breaking the fast. You can call yourself vegetarian, not fasting first. Because if you eat in the morning, you are not fasting. You are a vegetarian first. You are eating vegetables. And I don't see any problem to abstain until at least, 12 noon. It's not a big deal to abstain until 12 noon. And maybe with your father's confession, you can gradually increase this until 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. And believe me, if you abstain, nothing will happen to you. It will be okay. You can function, you can think strongly. This will not affect your thinking. And number two, you need to control the quality and the quantity of this. To eat humble food, and the quantity is sufficient for you to perform your daily work. Because as I told you, we don't make the purpose of fast not to make your body sick, but to discipline and control the desire and the passion of it. There's a big difference between making the body sick or crucifying the passions and desires of the flesh. And they did this. They humbled themselves. Actually, the king said, nobody drink or eat. And I don't know for how days, maybe 3 days, 4 days, they didn't drink and they fasted for 40 days. But nobody drink or eat means we abstain from fast for some time. So we need to abstain, we need to control the quantity and the quality of it. And also, during fasting, we need to live humble life in general. As we put on sackcloth, I'm not asking you to put on sackcloth, but to live a simple and a humble life during fasting. يبقى عملوا ايه؟ نمبر 1 believing that نمبر 2 proclaim ask look at cool نمبر 2 proclaim effect نمبر 3 نمبر 4 put on fast clothes or you can call it حياة نصفية 3 more points نمبر 5 verse 8, the king sent a decree to the people and said, everyone must cry mightily to God from their heart. Cry mightily to God from their heart. Which is prayer. But I want to say more than prayer. يعني خليني أقول لك على حاجة. If there is fire, you think a person لو في fire هيجي يقول مثلا يتصل يقول please come help me, there is fire here. ولا he will cry asking for help. He will cry, please ask for help. So now there is a warning. So we need to cry to God. That's why the king said, cry mightily. Not just crying, cry mightily. And I don't mean here by crying, is crying to him with your voice. I mean to cry from your heart to the Lord. As a kid, when you read the Psalms of David, many times he repeated, from the depths I cry to the Lord. من الأعماق صرخت إليك يا رب. بصوت إلى رب صرخت الصوت إلى رب تضرعت. With my voice I cry to the Lord. يا رب إليك صرخت في السماء علي. Oh Lord, I cry to you. Listen to me. The word cry in the prayer of David was repeated several times. So, now أنا مثلا, if I am overcome by one of my sins, and I want to be delivered from these sins, I need to cry every day and night. Every morning and night, I should cry mightily to the Lord to help me, to rescue me, to deliver me from this sin. Are we crying to God to deliver us or not? Are we praying from our heart, crying mightily or not? But some people, they fast, and they don't pray. Fasting for them is just changing food by another food. And they don't pray. Let me tell you something here. Many people, they say, and I got this question several times after I gave this sermon. يقولولي طب احنا we used to cast for the last 15 years and we never experienced these benefits in our life. So we stopped fast because we never experienced these benefits. You are saying fast will help us to get rid of our sins, fast will help us to be spiritual, but we never experienced it. So my answer to this is, you know, if you go to physician, well, physician wrote to you 4 or 5 medications. And you decided to take one. Do you think you'll get better? Why not? Then this medication cannot work alone. Doesn't work alone. It works with other medications. In the same way, fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting work with other things. Fasting work with prayer. And that's why you hear in the fraction during the Holy Great Fast, fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer, fasting and prayer. Because fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting work with asceticism. Fasting work with charitable deeds. As in the first Sunday you heard about charitable deeds, fasting and prayer. So if you fast, but you don't pray, you will not benefit from your fast. You need to pray during the time of fasting. And if you are praying, you need to add more prayer. If you are praying to fast, you need to pray for. If you are praying prime and compliant, you need to pray prime, desperate, and compliant. You need to increase your prayer during the time of fasting. And when you pray, think about this word. Cry mightily to the Lord. So your prayer should come from your heart, not from your lips. Cry mightily to God. Pray. But then, believed in God, they fasted, and asceticism, they humbled themselves for asceticism. Number 5,
pray.
Cry mightily to the Lord. Cry mightily. Number six.
Well,
and everyone must turn away from their evil deeds and wicked behavior.
Everyone must turn away from evil deeds and wicked behavior.
Turn away معناه ايه؟
عشان لما تعمل يوتيرن كده وقال يو ار درايفنج يعني ايه يوتيرن؟ يعني instead of driving in this direction, you drive in the opposite direction.
So, what then in the Bible says? Everyone starts to see what I'm doing wrong in my life. And start to do exactly the opposite. And during the time of fasting, this is what you need to do. To see what you are doing wrong in your life, and to do exactly the 180 degrees. So, if your major sin is lying, you need to say the truth. And to go to those who lie to them, and tell them the truth. If your major sin is gossiping, you need to keep the silence of your lips during to teach yourself how not to speak about anybody. If your major sin is judging others, you need to think about something good about others to say instead of judging them. Turning away from evil. So, again, fasting doesn't work alone. Fasting works with repentance. Turning away this repentance. You need to examine yourself during fasting and see what your weak point and what you're going to do about it. And completely change what you are doing. And to confess your sin. And usually I recommend to have three confessions during this fast. One in the beginning of the fast, in order to get some spiritual exercises from your father's confession. What do you do in the fast? Second time in the middle of the fast. It's like, you know, follow up to see where am I right now and am I following the spiritual exercise or not. Self-examination. And the third time at the end of the fast. For the Holy Pascha week, so when we start the Holy Passion week, you started, you know, in a fit to repent. But fasting doesn't work. Fasting without repentance avails nothing. And repentance means you need to see what you need to change, what your sin, and how to turn away from your evil deeds. خلبا هنا في نقطة مهمة جدا. In verse 10, when God saw what they did, and when he saw that they had given up their wicked behavior, so he had changed his mind, and did not punish them as he said he would. So, what is the main point that made God change his mind? Is turning away from evil. When God saw they had given up their wicked behavior, so he changed his mind. So what made God change his mind? And how much he turned away from the evil behavior. This is the key point. So this is the most important point in the seventh point. Even all of them. Number one. Listen God, number two. Proclaim the fast. Number three. Fast together. Number four. As it says, humble themselves. Number five. Cry mighty to the Lord. Number six. Then I will leave you. آخر نقطة. يقول لك إيه. Perhaps God will change his mind. Perhaps he will stop being angry and we will not die. So, they had what? Hope. If they didn't have hope, they wouldn't do all these 6 steps before. It is the hope that God may have mercy and change his mind and will not punish us as he said and will not die. So this hope made them repent and did all these things 6 times. And see the beauty here, from as it started with what? What's the first point? Faith. And what's the last point? Hope. So they started with faith and ended by hope. And through their faith and hope, they deserved what? The love of God and compassion. Why Judas perished? Why?
He had no faith.
Exactly. He lost. Judas didn't perish because he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. This was not the sin of his condemnation. Of course, he condemned because of the sin. But if he repented, he would be accepted. Like Peter, my Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. So Judas was perished because he lost hope. So we shouldn't lose hope. But just to know, I am trying for 20 years right now to quit smoking, and I couldn't. So I lost hope in my, this is a hopeless thing. Don't lose hope. Because if you start to lose hope, you will not fight the sin again. Don't say, no, I tried for 20 years or 10 years to stop lying, and I cannot. So I'm not going to try anymore. I tried to pray, to be consistent in my prayer for the last 5 years, and I cannot. So I'm not going to try anymore. God didn't give us the spirit of despair or discouragement. No, he gave us the spirit of hope. So we shouldn't lose hope, because it's through hope that we will be saved. Don't give up on yourself. Even if you tried for 20 years, don't give up. Because God can raise you as he raised the paralytic person after 38 years. So don't lose hope. These are the different points in the repentance of the Nineveh. Samahan, number one, they believed in God, number two, faith, number three, family together, number four, humble themselves for season, number five, Christ might is the Lord, number six, turn away from evil way, number seven, they had hope. If we follow the example of the Nineveh, we can change God's mind. We can make him change his decision if he's angry at us. See how powerful the repentance is. God changed his mind. You're like that. God saw what they did and he saw that they had given up their wicked behavior. So he changed his mind and did not punish them as he had said he would. May God who accepted the repentance of the Ninevites accept our church and our repentance. Thank you, Lord, to God forever and ever.